Welcome to another episode of the Christian Combatives Podcast. I am your host and servant in Jesus Christ, Paladin Actual. Is it true that there were students at Concordia University, Wisconsin, who were guilty of participating in the worship of demons on campus in a school-sanctioned event, no less? Concordia University, Wisconsin. Now, there's a lot of backstory that I have to give for this one to kind of ask this question. So first and foremost, let me explain. Concordia University System is not just a public school. Concordia University System is the official school system, the undergraduate school system of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A lot of pastors go through Concordia University System to get their bachelor's degree, to get their pre-seminary education before they go to seminary in Fort Wayne or St. Louis. I didn't go to Concordia University System myself. I went to, a different school, the School of Hard Knocks. But there are many people I know who went through the Concordia systems, and they say so many wonderful things about these systems. So Concordia University System is a wonderful blessing, not just to the Lutherans, but to the entire world. That being said, Concordia University System is supposed to be held under, let's say, a higher amount of scrutiny from the Lutheran Church, because this is our official system. This isn't just a public school. This is a Christian school. This is not just a Christian school. This is a Lutheran Church school. This is a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school specifically. So they should be held to a higher standard than any other school system. So this is why it's such a big deal when there's a controversy that happens at our beloved school system. Now, the thing that brought this latest controversy to my attention was an article written by Reverend T.R. Halverson. He writes at steadfastlutherans.org, a wonderful publication. I invite you to go and read it for yourself. The article was titled Unholy Holly at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Well, you already know what the Concordia system is now that I've explained it to you, or maybe you already knew. What is Holly and why was it being celebrated there? Well, Holly is a Hindu festival. In this article, Reverend Halverson gets into some of the details of what exactly it's celebrating. You may be familiar with pictures of people celebrating Holi, throwing colored chalk or powder or whatever in the air. It's often called the Festival of Colors, has a lot to do with fire and all these other things. In this article, Reverend Halverson gives a couple of explanations of the origins of this Festival of Holi. These are the ones that he writes down. First, the demoness Halika. Second, the burning of the Kamadeva. Third, the divine love between Krishnan and his consort Radha. And fourth, the driving out of the ogress Dhundi by revelry and insults. Now, you'll notice that there's something common in all four of these things. They're all religious. They're all specifically tied to the Hindu religion. This is not just, this is a celebration of all the colors in the world. Let's show all these colors and, you know, throw chalk in the air and we get colored with we have a color run and all these other things. That's not what this is. This is specifically a religious celebration that is going on here at a religious institution that believes a completely contradictory religion. Hinduism, contrary to Nostra Aetate, written by the Roman Catholics in Vatican II, Hinduism is not compatible with Christianity. And it's not just a cultural thing either. Hinduism is a religion. It is a religion with specific beliefs about spiritual entities and spiritual realities, which is not compatible with Christianity. So let's get into some details about this. I looked online to try to find some of the posts that CUW was giving out promoting this event. Thankfully, maybe, they've taken some of these things down. Those who were in charge of this specific event learned the error of their ways. I would like to preface this critique in a similar way that Reverend Halverson prefaces his critique of this event. This is not a condemnation of everybody who works at CUW and not a condemnation of CUW itself. There are many wonderful and faithful people who are working and doing wonderful work there at CUW. That being said, there are individuals who are responsible for events like these, and there are students who participated in events like these. And for those individuals, they need to reconsider what they are doing in prayer and in meditation on what the scripture says about these things. So Concordia University, Wisconsin put out a Holi Day celebration of cricket. So they combined an event of cricket, which is a sport that I don't follow, but is very popular in other places in the world, I have been told, and also the celebration of this pagan festival of Holi. It says the Concordia International Center welcomes Indian students with a fun-filled cricket workshop and a traditional Indian Holi celebration. You'll notice what isn't mentioned here. Hinduism. This is not Indian, this is Hindu. Now, I know that it's popular to conflate traditions of a culture and religious practices, but it is actually a historical reality that there are Christians in India. This is shocking. Those of you who have never heard of, there was a lady, maybe you heard of her, I don't know, Mother Teresa in Calcutta. There, maybe you heard of the Apostle Thomas, you know, Doubting Thomas. You probably heard about him last Sunday. Well, traditionally, the Christian church and many Christians in India believe that Thomas, his resting place is actually in India, that that's where he went to spread the gospel. So conflating Indian with the religious celebration of pagan deities is incorrect. It is, in fact, possible for a Christian to come from India. It is, in fact, possible for an Indian to be a Christian. But you have to be able to make this distinction. And blurring the line saying this is the International Center and they're welcoming Indian celebration, a traditional Indian celebration, this is incorrect. Hinduism is distinct from Christianity. You shouldn't be blurring those lines. Even if you want to show respect to those Indian students, it is not honoring even their traditions to say, well, your tradition, it's not religious. It is absolutely religious to do these celebrations revolving around Krishna or Holi or, you know, whatever it is. This is religious. This is talking about events that happened according to the religious texts of Hinduism. This is not, oh, it's just Indian culture. This is specifically related to the religion of Hinduism. Again, not everybody who's Indian has to be Hindu. There are Christian Indians. Again, shocker, I know. It's a shock that somebody can actually come from a country where religion is popular and believe in a different religion. This isn't the first controversy that Concordia University, Wisconsin has gotten into, even in the last few months. Concordia University, Wisconsin, again the International Center, put out a, let's say, a digital flyer, and it specifically says, Ramadan Mubarak, happy Ramadan to our international students. Ramadan is not Arabic. Ramadan is Muslim. Ramadan is a celebration of something that takes place in Islam. It's specifically the celebration that people are celebrating that Muhammad wrote the first five books of the Quran. Now, if you're familiar with the Quran and you're familiar with Muhammad, you might realize that this guy is not Christian. In fact, this guy wrote things specifically contrary to Christendom. Why would you be celebrating as a Christian institution? Why would you be wishing other people the celebration of the writing of material that is contrary to Christianity? Muhammad claims that he received revelation from an angel, and because of this, he was able to write the Quran. He received revelation from Allah through an angel that he was able to write the Quran. Now, we Christians acknowledge that this is not an angel of God who is giving him these things. In fact, Paul warns us, even if an angel of God were to appear to you and give you a contrary gospel, you should reject it. So this is not Christian. This is not even Christian compatible to celebrate Ramadan or to encourage other people to celebrate a religion that says Christianity is wrong. Why would you, as a Christian institution, as a Christian student, as a Lutheran student, be celebrating Holi, a festival of contrary pagan religions and deities, or be wishing other people to celebrate a happy celebration of their anti-Christian festival? Can you imagine what this would look like in the Old Testament? Like, I'm trying to fathom some example of this. Like, you know, happy Baal Day, happy Baal birthday, happy Moloch, you know. Happy Moloch sacrificing your baby's day. Happy Dagon worship day. Happy golden calf day. Can you imagine God being a jealous God? God wanting to share his throne, wanting to allow his people to participate in the celebration and the worship of other gods and other deities? Oh, well, it's just the culture of the Canaanites. It's just the culture of the Egyptians. You know, we're just celebrating the culture of the Egyptians. Well, you know, many of the Egyptians left Egypt in the Exodus and started following after Yahweh, the one true God. It is not necessary for an Egyptian, tell it to the Coptics, it is not necessary for somebody to be an Egyptian and a worshiper of Amun-Ra, for example. You have to be able to say, look, I know that you're from this culture and this religion is popular in your culture, but as a Christian, you are set apart. You are a set apart people. Now, at this stage, now that I've set all this groundwork, it is essential that we go to the Bible and see, what does the Bible say about the celebration of other gods? If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and following, you will read this. No, I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake in the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Am I being too harsh here? Am I being too harsh by saying that by participating in the Holi festival, by participating in wishing others a happy Ramadan, Christians are actually participating in the worship of demons? Because the Bible says that that's what it is. That's what it is when other religions worship their gods. They are worshiping demons. This Krishna, this is a demon. This idea of a God, this angel that spoke to Muhammad, this is a demon. This is not the true God. This is something that's contrary to Christianity. And by the words of Scripture itself, this is the participation in the worship of demons. Now, I get that you want to reach out to your brothers and sisters in other cultures and other countries. You want to say, please come as you are, come with all of your cultures and your traditions from your country. And you want to be as welcoming and as easy to approach as possible. But the reality is that Christianity is an exclusive religion. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, not one of many, not a way, not a truth, not a life, the way, the truth, and the life. What else does the Bible say, I wonder? I've got Ephesians 4 pulled up here. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, this in particular might be talking about the anger. Don't give opportunity to the devil. But this is also relevant to participation in cultural events where you worship other deities, where you worship other gods, false gods, where you worship and celebrate demons. You are giving a foothold to the devil. You are giving opportunity to the devil when you allow things like this in and just say, well, it's just Indian culture. Well, no, knock it off. It is not just Indian culture to worship things that are not God. That's no excuse. And even if it is, that's just Canaanite culture. That's just Egyptian culture. That's just Arabic culture. That is just no excuse is what that is. There is no excuse to worship or to allow the worship or to participate in the worship or to promote the worship of false gods and religions which say that Christianity is wrong and Christ is not Lord and God. There is no excuse for this sort of thing. I understand that you want to be winsome. You want to practice apologetics and evangelism. You want to reach out with love and bring others in. The Bible tells you that you should preach the truth in love, which means that you have to do it in love, but you also have to preach the truth. The truth is hard to hear for some people, and this is a reality. Christianity, you will look in the Bible and you'll find examples of talking about the Jews and the Romans, the Jews and the Gentiles. You know, the Romans, they love their logic, or the Greeks, they love their logic, and the Jews, their traditions, and the miracles, and all these other things. And that there is a cultural divide between Christianity and other religions and other practices. And the reality is that, yes, it will be difficult to bridge that divide, but Christ has done it. With his death on the cross, he's reconciled the whole world to himself. So long as they aren't rejecting him, and as long as they are worshiping the gods of the religion of Hinduism, the gods of the religion of the Egyptians, the god of the religion of Islam, the practices of these false religions, the participation in the worship of demons, they are not receiving the forgiveness that comes from faith in Christ alone. This is a special and wonderful gift that is given to you, to the believer. And by encouraging others to continue to participate in these religions that actually make distance from the cross, that distance these people from Christ, you are not being loving. You are being hurtful. You are being hateful, in fact. You are not allowing the grace of God to cover the sins of these people, because instead you are saying, well, God is okay, but what you have is good enough, or what you have is compatible with worship with God, when you know that according to Scripture, this is not true. It is not possible to reconcile the worship of demons, to drink from the cup of demons and drink from the cup of the Lord, to sit at the table of demons and to sit at the table of the Lord. It is not possible. This is not me. You'll go ahead and shoot the messenger. This is God. God is saying this in the Bible. Again, check out 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go ahead and read the whole go read the whole book. Read the whole Bible if you'd like to. Go ahead and read the whole Bible and see how many times God says, well, it's okay for you to, you know, to continue to practice these other religious beliefs as long as you also practice, you know, these Christian beliefs. So again, going back to this article by Tara Halverson, again, I encourage you to go and read it. If you want to look it up on Google, it's called Unholy Holly. Holly is spelled H-O-L-I at Concordia University, Wisconsin. And he posted this on steadfastlutherans.org. He does a wonderful thing going through this article and talking about the sin. This is a violation of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. You shall have other gods, but they have to be lesser. You shall have no other gods. You shall have no other gods before me is another way to phrase this. But the reality is that deities, that's what it is. Deities are gods of other religion. You should not be participating in practices that acknowledge that there are other gods. There are no other gods. Scripture is also clear on this. There's an excuse that is made, perhaps, I don't know if some people at Concordia University, Wisconsin made this excuse, But he points out this excuse, and I've seen other people make this excuse in the past, that it doesn't count because it's not a spiritual participation in these religious practices, that it is only a physical participation. I'm just throwing chalk and colors in the air. I'm not actually participating in the religion. And he points out that this is not a Christian perspective, but this is a Gnostic perspective where you can divide the body and the soul, where somehow what you do with your body has no impact on what the spiritual reality is of you yourself. The Gnostics believe that the body was a husk, basically, that it's actually something to be thrown away after death. It's to be discarded. But Christians, on the other hand, Christians believe that the body and the soul are connected to each other. Death is the unnatural separation of body and soul. Death is not pleasing to God. Death is an enemy to be defeated. So in the resurrection, Christ was resurrected not just in spirit, as the Gnostics would prefer, but in spirit and in body. He was physically resurrected as well. He physically appeared before Thomas and the others. He physically ate with the disciples. He physically ascended into heaven. He was resurrected in body and soul. Likewise, you will be resurrected in body and soul because you cannot divide the body and soul permanently. You cannot say, well, what I do with my body has no impact on what I do with my spirit. As though you could burn a pinch of incense to Caesar and you're just saying, well, it's just an outward, it doesn't count because my heart isn't in it. That is not a Christian perspective. That is a Gnostic perspective. That is an anti-Christian perspective. It is a pagan belief that you can do things with your body and it doesn't count because your spirit is not in it. Your heart is not in it. That is not a Christian, that is not an excuse to participate in Holi and just throw the colors around or whatever they do during this festival. So that's not an excuse. In any case, again, I would commend you to go and read this article by Reverend Halverson. Go look up on what Hinduism is, what it teaches, and actually go and spend some time learning a little bit about the Christians in India, the Arabic or Aramaic-speaking Christians in the Middle East. You will find that even in these countries where Islam is popular, extremely popular, or Hinduism is extremely popular, it is still possible to be a Christian, that you have to be able to be that set apart people. You are not a people whose worship can be blended between Christianity and these pagan deities. You are set apart. You are loved by God specifically. God, specifically the one true God, the triune God. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for all who call upon him in faith. He died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, and everyone who receives this in faith will be saved. But those who believe in contrary religions do not follow the one way, the one truth, and the one life, and as a result, they will not receive the one path to salvation. It is not loving, it is not compassionate to encourage the continued practices of pagan religions. And according to the Bible, according to Scripture itself, this is the participation in the worship of demons. This is not, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, it's just a holiday, just a cultural event, just a festival. No. If God takes it seriously and in Scripture it is taken seriously enough to say this is the worship of demons, then you have an obligation as a Christian to follow Scripture and say, okay, if God says this is the worship of demons, I have to say this is the worship of demons. And I have to treat it exactly that seriously. And for those who cannot yet make that disconnect between culture and religious practice, those who say, well, this is the way that my family has done it, this is the way that my people have done it, they need to be taught, they need to be talked to in love. They need to be prayed for, they need to be educated. They need to be told, like the Ninevites when Jonah came to them, that there is a God and there is a judgment, but there is also a salvation from that judgment, and this is the one way to go to it. And now that you are a Christian, you should no longer limp between these two things. You and your household, you should follow the Lord. This is loving. This is true. This is good. This is compassionate. Anything less than that is less than loving. Again, I understand the mentality of I love these Indians, and I want to reach out to them, and I want to appreciate their culture, but you are not helping in the long run. You are, in fact, setting up stumbling blocks in the future when you're saying, look, we are celebrating Holi at a Lutheran university. We are saying you should go and celebrate Ramadan as a Concordia University system. You are setting up stumbling blocks in the future when you then say Jesus Christ is the way and you cannot trust in any other gods. You have set up a stumbling block by previously saying, okay, these festivals and these holidays and these religions are okay, but now they're not okay. It's inconsistent and it's confusing. It is not loving to try to be falsely inclusive, to trick people into coming in and saying, look, we'll overlook these differences. We'll actually celebrate these different religions alongside you just so we can trick you into coming in, and then we'll give you the gospel later on. This is deceptive. This is contrary to the Christian message. Far better to present the full stumbling block, the full holy stumbling block of Christ on the cross, the exclusive message of Christianity, and say, look, this is the only way to salvation. Far better to get that out of the way. I don't even say get that out of the way. It's a wonderful thing. To present that at the beginning rather than to leave that on the back burner until you've tricked some people to coming into the congregation, coming into the university, coming into the International Cultural Center, coming into the Bible study, and then saying, aha, now that you're in here, now that I've tricked you by saying that, you know, happy Ramadan and let's participate in holly together, now I can trick you with Christianity. This is not a proper representation of Christianity. Christianity is inclusive in that Christ died for all, but Christianity is exclusive in that only those who receive that death on the cross with faith will benefit from it. It is not loving to give people anything less than what God has given to us. It is not loving to diminish the law or the gospel just to trick people into thinking that anything less than a radical change in their faiths and their practices and their belief systems is required to be a Christian. You cannot be a Hindu Christian. You cannot be a Muslim Christian. You cannot be a Jewish Christian. You have to be a Christian Christian. The way, the truth, and the life. Christ loves you and he died on the cross for your salvation. And it is a wonderful thing to realize that this is the exclusive truth and the exclusive benefit, the exclusive blessing of Christianity. Please love your neighbors, love your international neighbors, love those of other cultures, but love them with the truth. Speak the truth in love. God bless you all and take care.